And welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Hope everybody had a fantastic weekend. Joe Rex Road, good morning. What's going on?
Good morning. Good weekend. I will make a quick announcement that we now officially have a fourth Spartan in the house.
Yes.
So, as my $250 deposit will confirm. Swear to God, we're not trying to do this. We're not trying to make this happen, but it keeps happening.
It's a family tradition.
I guess so, man. Yeah.
Sparty's everywhere.
Take your butt back up to the winner. Enjoy.
Izzo was thrilled to get the latest Rex Road in there.
He should go over there and help Izzo. You know, should go help him out. Next year he has his older brother there to buy him beer. It's great.
Yeah, it's true. Didn't think about that. Congratulations to Brennan.
Yes.
Going to Michigan
thanks.
State.
Congrats, Brennan.
Absolutely. Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing good, thanks. Had a shout out to Edmondson Elementary for the fun kickball tournament yesterday. Hung
Sweet.
Out at the field for a little bit.
Okay.
That was fun. So yeah, good weekend, thanks. Fun times watching the draft.
Very nice. Very nice.
Love some kickball.
Got good weather this week, Joe. I don't know if you've seen. We're going to be in the mid to high 80s all week.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
I'm here for it.
What's it going to be for Metallica Thursday? That's what I want to know.
Well, is that when you're going?
I think it's going to have to be.
Okay. 80 degrees on Thursday.
Can't have rain, though.
We do have 50% chance of rain.
Look at those. Yeah, we got some temps.
Yeah.
I like it.
We're in the sweet spot, baby.
Let's bring that poncho.
Yeah, just get the poncho. Actually, yeah, you should do that. Just bring the poncho to the Metallica concert, I'm sure that'll go over well. Get in there and try to, you know, mosh while things are going on down there.
Yeah.
Be good.
Yeah, do people mosh still at, like, you know, I mean, I went to one in 1994 and I moshed a lot at
exactly.
that concert. But, like, now that everybody's in their, like, 40s and 50s, are they moshing still?
I don't know.
Knocking each other's spines
out
of place?
I did have – my wife asked me, and I don't know the answer to this, why they're going Thursday night and then Saturday. Like, why is there a day off in between? And my initial response was, I mean, they're old now. And they can't do it two nights in a row. Give it a break.
I think that's probably – you know, they're like, you know what? We're going to camp out in the city for a little bit.
Yeah.
Sleep all day in between the shows. Probably it.
It's probably
know?
It.
Hey,
I mean, I did think, like, are they building in, like if Thursday gets rained out so they could go to Friday? I don't know. Like,
I guess you could look at it that way.
But no, I think it's because they're a little older.
I'm that's fine. I get it. I do. So I'll get them before they, you know, get real tired.
Yeah, you get the initial
call it a night at 8 p.m. Saturday.
We got a whole lot to get into on the program today. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get to the Titans draft, his impressions on what the Titans have done here with Corey coming up at 8. We will get into the Shedeur Sanders stuff because there's a lot there to get into later in the program as well. We'll take your thoughts on that. We're already getting thoughts on Shedeur Sanders and Mel Kiper and the whole thing before the show even started on the text line. So keep them coming.
It's the story.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. We will get into all that. But, Joe, let's just start with your general reaction to the Titans draft class here. Obviously, you know, the worst-kept secret in the world, Cam Ward, the number one pick. We discussed that on Friday in the aftermath of that. In round two, you go with Femi Oladejo, the edge rusher out of UCLA. In round three, Kevin Winston Jr. from Penn State, the safety. Chimere Dike, the wide receiver out of Florida in round four. They also got Gunnar Helm, the tight end from Texas in round four. Elik Ayomanor, the wide receiver from Stanford in round four, they moved up to go get, which, by the way, I could not believe he was still there, so I thought that was a great pick for the Titans. Jackson Slater, the guard from Sacramento State in the fifth round. Marcus Harris, the corner from Cal in the sixth round. And Kalel Mullings, the running back from Michigan, their final pick in the sixth round. In general, Joe, before we get kind of deep into each one of these here, what did you make of the draft picks for the Titans, the 2025 draft class for your Tennessee Titans?
Well, it's all going to be obviously dictated by Cam Ward. So, and we knew that in that last show, you know, Cam Ward is the whole thing. But this year, Cam Ward, I mean, how much of a chance does he have to have some success with the Titans? Do the Titans have of having success? I think a lot of that will be dictated by the draft class. And that's where, you know, you're a little underwhelmed with you ultimately, if it works out the way they obviously see it, which is high ceiling, and you know at some point it's going to get there, then Oladejo and Winston could end up being terrific picks for them, you know. But like, they may not be high impact guys right away, you know, in the second and third round. In the second and third round, you typically want, you know, you want plug and play starters. Now, Oladejo may still start because this is what this team is at the edge. But, you know, those picks, there were other guys on the board, more production. And, you know, Winston is an injured guy, which is like, man, I thought that's what they didn't do. So I didn't love, you know, day two for the Titans, first blush. Now, day three, I really like how they move into one for one of those picks, but 103, 120, 136, receiver, tight end, receiver. And like you said, I think Ayomanor, did I get it?
Yeah, Ayomanor.
Ayomanor.
Ayomanor. Yeah.
I said Ayomanor. Okay. Ayomanor. Tomato, tomato, Ayomanor, Ayomanor. I thought actually that would possibly be their pick at the top of the fourth round. They still get him because I like, he's a big physical guy.
Yeah.
And I think that's a nice contrast. You get him, you get DK from Florida, who's a straight burner. We'll see. Is he Taywan Taylor? Is he a guy who's actually going to like be able to play? I mean, right. We'll see. But and Helm is a good pickup. Like, we've talked about tight end all offseason, and Gunnar Helm will play this year for the Tennessee Titans without question. And I think he could end up being the best tight end on the roster before long. So, you know, overall – I like Harris at corner. He's a solid prospect in the sixth round. And actually, I like Mullings, too. You know, they looked at the power backs. I'm now a New York Giants fan. Scataboo is my guy.
And he did not fall to the, you know, sixth round like some thought he might.
Yeah. And, I mean, look, like it or not, Giants look smart with that pick. I know that's like to think they're stupid, but they look pretty smart with that pick. But Kalel Mullings in the sixth round, 188, talk about a power back. I mean, he is a bruiser. I kind of like that one, too.
I really love what the Titans did on day three. You know, getting Helm, the tight end. Like, we knew that tight end, at some point, they were going to have to figure out here. And, look, I don't know that Gunnar Helm is going to be, you know, Brock Bowers or anything out there. But I like him. I like that pick on day three. Ayomanor, I really like. Like, I think that may be – you know, my favorite pick of the draft is what they were able to find in him on the third day here. You know, day two, I'm with you. Like, Oladejo is interesting because he basically just started playing edge rusher. So he played edge rusher basically last year at UCLA. So it's not very much time that he's spent at the position. And you could argue it. I guess this kind of depends on your perspective, Joe. You could argue, say, well, look what he was able to do in a short amount of time, playing the position for the first time, and he's only going to get better. Like, the more time he spends there, like, he's a guy that's going to continue to improve and improve and improve as time goes on here. And then you could also, if you're a Titans fan, say, well, that's great. How about go get somebody that we know is an edge rusher and that's played a lot at edge rusher at your second-round pick that's ready to go? So I guess that one depends on your perspective. Clearly, they like him. Clearly, they look at the traits and think he can be a really good player there. And I'm with you. Like, right now, number one, he's a second-round pick. And number two, where they're at positionally, he's going to have to play. Like, he's going to have to get out there and play meaningful snaps this year for the Titans. But that one, I think that one's going to be a very divisive pick as we talk about it in the coming days.
Yeah, it brings a lot of things with this draft. I just in my head feel like I'm comparing it to 2016. You know, you're coming off the two terrible years, and you have a new GM. You had the number one pick. A lot of things different, obviously. They traded that pick. But, like, it's not even the same kind of prospect. But when I read about him and when I think about him and how he fits in, for whatever reason, I'm thinking about the second-round Kevin Dodd pick in 2016. Now, again, that's very different. Dodd actually had a really good one season with Clemson. He had a couple huge gains. He wasn't consistent. He was a disaster in the NFL. He just – you know, again, these are things that, like, sometimes you just can't predict how things are going to go when someone gets into the NFL. So, I mean, that's not really a fair comparison for him, but that's a very important pick. Cam Ward dictates everything, right, with his front office and everything. I mean, everything's tied to Cam Ward. But that Oladejo pick is a very, very telling pick in terms of this front office and the ability to see something. And again, in a couple of years, we may be like, oh my God, that's actually a steal at 52. Or if it's like, yeah, see, this is why you draft guys who actually do the things in college. And that's the way I would lean right now.
Got one text that says, I think Mike Green was the pick there. I don't care that he came from Marshall. I don't know what was going on with Mike Green.
It's not about Marshall.
It ain't about Marshall. Like, there's I don't know what exactly is going on there, but I mean, he fell for a reason. The teams thought he was radioactive.
Yeah, I mean, it was reported. I mean, there were sexual assault accusations that did not become charges for Mike Green back at Virginia.
Yep.
So that's – I mean, I have to believe that's the big thing that – pushed him down, and of course, so the Ravens take him. And so with the Ravens' luck, what'll happen is that'll end up being that there's nothing to that, and he'll end up being a model citizen and get 15 sacks a year.
Yeah. Things tend to work out for the Ravens.
They do. The Ravens, I mean, I'm looking at our draft grades, by the way. Brugler graded all the teams, and I mean, maybe I'm just biased because I just think whatever the Ravens do is awesome, but he has them ninth. One spot behind?
The Tennessee Titans.
The Tennessee Titans. Number eight.
Who's number one on that list?
Number one on that list. Anyone out there want to guess? Has anyone else there seen?
I can't guess because you already told me.
It would be the Vrabster, the New England Patriots, with Will Campbell, Travion Henderson, Kyle Williams, Jared Wilson. Yeah, that's a pretty good draft. Yeah. You got to your offensive line address. I like Kyle Williams out of Washington State. I thought maybe he would end up here.
Yeah.
And Travion hitting home runs with his Buckeye buddy.
Oh, Vrabel.
Oh, Vrabel.
They're putting together apparently a really good draft class. We'll see.
We'll see
how it plays out. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. What did you make of the 2025 draft class for your Tennessee Titans? We'll take your thoughts on that. Plus, what do we make of how the Titans have surrounded Cam Ward on the offensive side of the ball heading into year one? The moves are mostly done, we think. What do we make of what he's looking at in year one? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
What's the balance, you think, between being patient with a rookie quarterback coming in versus, you know, obviously wanting to win more next season?
Yeah, it doesn't change for me. We want to win as much as possible. We want to put our team in position to win as many games as we can. And the development of the quarterback is a part of that process. And you want to be able to put him in position to have success as well. With what you ask him to do, with how you help him around him, how you play defense, how you run the football, how you protect him. Those are all things that you're focused on. Is you want to put him in his best possible situations to be successful early. And that usually translates into helping you win games on top of it. So I don't know if that's the best way to answer the question, but I just think that you never sacrifice and, you know, really one for the other. You're trying to do both at the same time.
That's Brian Callahan on Cam Ward coming in and what they're trying to get done this year in year one with Cam Ward. Taking your thoughts on the Titans draft class, 615-737-1025, our phone number. So, Joe, the moves at this point, you've gotten through the bulk of free agency and you've now gotten through the draft. So while there can be and probably will be some moves coming up for the Titans, the big ones and the majority of those moves, I think, at this point are done. And this is basically what your roster is going to be, barring a, you know, maybe a trade here or there or, you know, some pickup. We've got people asking about edge rushers that are still out there in the aftermath of the draft. We can get into that
Big Z
a little bit later in the show. But, there's some guys out there still, but by and large, your moves after the draft are done heading into next year. So what do we make of what the Titans have done, particularly on the offensive side of the ball here, to surround Cam Ward heading in year one? You've got the offensive line, obviously, in free agency that they went out and reshaped with Dan Moore coming in and Zeitler coming in. And, again, we'll see what happens at the center position with Cushenberry and whether or not he's ready to go. But we've talked a lot about that. Receiver is interesting now. You've got, obviously, Ridley and Lockett, two veteran guys that have played a lot of football in this league. Beyond that, there were some gaping holes. And you went into the draft, and you didn't address it until the fourth round, but you did address it. You got DK out of Florida, who, as you said earlier, a burner, ran a 4.34 at the 40-yard dash at the combine. So he's got some good speed to him. You've got Ayomanor out of Stanford, also in the fourth round, that, frankly, I think is a really good pick there, but we'll see how that translates to the NFL. I think both of those guys are going to have to play and are probably going to have to play a lot based on where their receiving core is at the moment. You can throw Bryce Oliver in there, and then beyond that, Van Jefferson, we'll see what all that looks like. Traylon Burks, I guess you could throw him in there
as well. Are you forgetting Tyler Lockett?
No, I said Ridley
and Lockett.
You said
Lockett already? Yeah. Oh, you said Ridley and Lockett.
Yeah,
my bad.
Together.
Yep.
Exactly.
See, you got to listen.
You got Helm at the tight end spot to go along with Okonkwo and Wiley. So there's your offensive group. And then you got Pollard and Spears and now Mullings at the running back position. So what do you make of the group on offense that is surrounding Cam Ward as currently constructed, and what sort of group do you think that is for him heading into year one on the offensive side of the ball?
If you did NFL, I know it was like NFL positional rankings. If you did NFL skill, offensive skill position rankings, I mean, the Titans would certainly be bottom five still, right?
I would agree.
They would have a shot to be last. But these rookies have big opportunities. So if even one of them turns out to be, wow, this guy is consistent, can make plays and is immediately coming in and helping you, you know, that's a big deal. I mean, you need one of them at least. You'd love actually both of them to, you know, like you'd love to see these guys come in and for Bryce Oliver to just be, you know, a guy who gives them depth, right? You know, you also want to see Lockett be more like, you know, DeAndre Hopkins in terms of having at least another good productive season than Tyler Boyd, who last year you're like, oh, okay, now I get why there wasn't really much market for this guy. I think Helm helps, and I think Helm plays right away. The backs are fine. You know, Pollard's good. I mean, it's potentially decent. You know, it's potentially pretty good. Potentially okay. I don't know if it's potentially great. I mean, that's hard for me to get there, or even very good. But then it's also like, you tell me the offensive line is actually quite a bit better, that Dan Moore can actually play left tackle, and that Cam Ward's going to have a chance to sit back there and have clean pockets a decent amount of the time. Some of these skill guys look better all of a sudden too, yep. Right? I mean, the whole thing goes together as one big picture. At least they've given themselves a chance here, get some new blood onto the field. And again, this is the Cam Ward evaluation and what this front office has seen in him and all that, obviously it starts right away, but it's a long-term thing. And there's a lot of time that Titans fans are going to give, that the Titans organization is going to give to see how that works out. But we're going to see pretty quickly here how these guys are at putting together a draft and making decisions. And because, you know, some of these guys have got to come in and really even – perform over their draft slot for this team to be competitive.
Let me ask you about a guy that, you know, typically we don't spend a whole lot of time the Monday after the draft talking a lot about undrafted free agents, but this one is kind of interesting. What do you make of Restrepo, who is now he's with the Titans. He signed with the Titans. You know, clearly the 4.8 40 time killed him in this draft process here, and he ends up going undrafted. The Titans get him. Apparently Cam Ward, heavy influence in that, clearly. So what did you make of Restrepo ending up with the Titans?
I like it. And I would right now, I'll, you know, give me the, you know, pre-camp 53. I'm putting him on the team. Now, you know, maybe during mini camp and everything, everybody's like, oh, wow, he's really slow. Never mind. But I'm basing what we saw from him in Miami. And I don't think this was a case of, like, Cam Ward making someone look better than they are necessarily. I think he's a really good player. So I really like that signing for sure.
Yeah, I mean, look, I look at what they've got on paper on the offensive side of the ball heading into this year, and I still think – I guess what I would say is there's a lot that has to go right. That's basically how I feel about it, right? Like, you need Ridley – to be on the same page with Cam Ward immediately. And frankly, the last 2 years of evidence he's had in Jacksonville and then here last year with the Titans, history tells me that it may take him a while to get on the same page with the quarterback. You really don't need that to happen this year. You need him to be ready to go. Lockett, I like. Like, I like the pickup of Lockett. It's not an expensive pickup, but he is going to be 33 coming up in September, and we've seen the production start to go down. So what exactly is he, and where's he going to play? That's the other thing. Like, PK put it out there that the Titans view him as basically like a slot guy that has the opportunity to play on the outside.
He's mostly played on the outside in Seattle.
He's basically been on the outside in Seattle. So what does that look like? this year. And then, of course, you know, the two rookies that were drafted, I think, are going to have to play a big role. Restrepo is interesting. I'm interested to see, like, you know, there's a lot of talk about his 40 time. Was his hamstring hurt at the time, and how much of a factor was that? You know,
don't run then.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That could end up working out really well for the Titans if that is the case, and he was hurt, and that's not exactly what he was there. So a lot of things about what they've got specifically at wide receiver are intriguing to me. I still look at their group as a whole and say, at the moment, I don't really love it. There is a lot of opportunity there for those rookies to come in and make an impact.
Yeah, it's Ridley and – you know, Lockett's proven, but, you know, how much does he have left? And then these rookies, what are they? So it's like you got a one, you know, a one, and then there's a lot of possible twos.
Yeah.
But you really would love for someone to emerge and be a clear two and a clear three. But, again, at least there are options and there's competition. Mark from Ashland City pointing out that DK is a punt returner.
Yep.
You know, so that would be great if he's a – if he is someone who's reliable and also can actually give you some, you know, some production at punt returner.
Well, and even a Yeomanor, like I really like him. Now he is a fourth round pick. So it's like, well, okay. Why did he fall the fourth round? Right? Like I was stunned he was still there by the time 136 rolled around. I thought he could go in third. Like I thought there was a good chance that would be where he went. So I love the pick. I love the value of the pick. But can he really come in year one as a rookie and be a true difference maker at wide receiver? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is.
Yeah, you just you don't know. I mean, it's like when they drafted I always forget his name, the kid from Louisville.
Des Fitzpatrick?
Thank you. You know, he had played a ton of college football, and it's like maybe the ceiling's not super high with him, but he should be able to come in and play, you know, because he's been productive and, like, done a lot, played a lot of football, and he just wasn't good enough. And then in the same round of the same draft, I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown is out there just lighting things up immediately,
yep.
And there was no indication he was going to come in and do what he did. So a Yeomanor is going to come in, be ready to just crush people. I mean, I love the physicality. I love that they got another physical receiver. Treylon Burks was the attempt at that after they lost AJ Brown, and he obviously can't play or hasn't been able to play yet. So I like that. It's like, how ready is he going to be? It's like you just don't know how these guys are going to adapt and how quickly they're going to hit the ground running. But he's going to have opportunity. There's no doubt about that.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. What do you make of the Titans offense in the aftermath of the draft? And what Cam Ward is surrounded with heading into year one. We'll continue the discussion on that. Plus, a certain Titan, still a member of the roster after draft weekend. What does that mean for him moving forward? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. Is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans draft class, what do you make of how the Titans have surrounded Cam Ward heading into year one? 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Richard on YouTube says, first on the waiver wire, so the roster isn't set yet. It's not totally set, but, I mean, how many NFL teams are saying, all right, we're going to get a lot of guys off the waiver wire to bring in here into play? I realize the Titans roster is in a bad spot, and they could have some waiver claims come around by the time camp rolls around here. And that, you know, it can happen from time to time where somebody gets cut somewhere and then end up elsewhere and play really well. By and large, that doesn't really happen a ton in the NFL. It's not really how you want to build your roster.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it'll be a factor here and there. You know, there are veteran edges out there, and so, you know, I think that's a possibility still for the Titans. I mean, I still look at the edge group. I mean, you're asking a lot of the rookie here to come in and you know, be a productive, reliable player based on switching to the position last year. Again, that's one of those you it's really like your outlook on that, you know? It's like, why would you take someone who isn't proven or hasn't had high production in the second round at that critical position? That's weird. Or man, what a value to get someone who just switched and had that much production with the last second switch, and that's a perfect position for him. And as soon as he figures out some counter moves, my goodness, it's going to be cooking with gas. Any outcome I could totally buy here.
Yeah,
on Oladejo.
I'm totally with you on that front. So one member of the Titans that's still a part of the roster through draft weekend is Will Levis. Will Levis did not get moved. There really, when you look around the league, Joe, was not a whole lot of movement at all when it comes to roster players at the draft. So Will Levis is still here. At the moment, the Titans have four quarterbacks in Cam Ward, Will Levis, Brandon Allen, and Tim Boyle. So what do you make of where things currently stand in the quarterback room and what this means for Will Levis now that the draft has come and gone and he's still a member of the team?
Certainly more likely now that they go into everything with him and he's on the team next year. And again, I don't think that that's some disastrous decision. I would have moved him if I could have, and they still could. You know, Kaharski's been arguing for this, so he can be all excited. Oh, yay, Will! He can be all excited that he's coming back. Maybe Kaharski had a little inkling, huh?
Maybe. Didn't share that with us if he did.
I know. But I don't think Levis is actively going to become a distraction. I think he'll be a good team guy, and he understands what's going on here. He had his shot, and now they just drafted Cam Ward. And so, if Will Levis is realistically going to get another chance to lead a team in the NFL, it's probably another team. Now, the reason that I would have moved him or would move him is still. You know, Cam Ward comes out as a rookie and has three straight terrible games, and Levis had probably played a little better than him in camp, which wouldn't be some shock. It's Levis's third year. It's Levis's second year in this system. And again, it's fan. You can dismiss fans if you want. I think that's silly because if we're going to pretend like fan sentiment and conversation and media stuff doesn't matter, then your head's in the sand. But take that out of it. Players in the locker room. They just lost three straight games, and even if they believe in Cam Ward, they're like, the rookie's just not ready. Levis should be out there. Number eight would be giving us a better chance to win. That's what you eliminate if you move him. Now, the other side of that is, as Karski has argued, yeah, but also wouldn't you like to have some quarterback talent behind him, and maybe he gets hurt, and now you actually have a chance to go win games?
Yeah.
I get that.
Well, look. Other people may not agree with this. Let's say that they go into camp and they've got these four quarterbacks and Levis is still here by the time camp rolls around. Let's get to the season. Let's say he makes the team and they say sayonara to Tim Boyle and Tim Boyle's gone and the quarterback room ends up being Ward, Brandon Allen, and Will Levis. I am operating under the opinion, based on what Callahan has said and based on the way I think they view Will Levis, like, I think if Cam Ward went down, Brandon Allen would play. Like, I think there's a lot of people that believe Will Levis would play. I don't. I think Brandon Allen would play. I mean, I'm going back to some of the quotes that Brian Callahan had about Brandon Allen when they brought him in. Quote, I don't think people have enough respect for what Brandon Allen is. I think Brandon's a good quarterback. You watch him play, what he's done in his career. He's a guy that can play. He's a good quarterback. You're judging from a pool of guys in free agency that are all very similar one way or the other. Ultimately, Brandon's played 10 years in this league for a reason. Like, I think he would go with Brandon Allen. As we sit here today. Now, look, maybe Will Levis has gone out this offseason and he comes into camp and he looks great and you react to that information at that time. But as we sit here today, I am almost certain that he would play Brandon Allen over Will Levis.
Okay, that could be. Yeah, that could be. I mean, Brandon Allen is, there's not a lot out there on him and not a lot out there that's all that impressive. But again, Levis wouldn't be submitting much of last season on his resume tape either. So
I just think I think Callahan, rightly or wrongly, trust Allen more.
And if that's the case, then again I'm just kind of like, okay, so Levis is here. Why?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's under contract.
Right.
You know, you have him as a failsafe, I guess. But
I'm still not convinced he's going to be here.
Oh, I'm not convinced about it either.
We made fun of it at the time. And laughed about it after the pre-draft press conference last week. But, I mean, Borgonzi's answer on Levis was kind of telling, right? Like, he was asked about Levis, and he was just like, yeah, you know, he's a quarterback that is currently in the room. It's basically all he had to say about it. It's like, yeah. I get it.
Yeah, it was a change in message.
Yeah, like they may not have – look, they may have tried to move him this weekend and were not able to do so. Like maybe it just didn't work this weekend. So that doesn't mean it can't work in the future. And look, maybe they do keep him around. Maybe they get to camp and they say, you know what, we'll just move on from Tim Boyle and we'll go with these three guys at quarterback and there's cost control there. I mean, it's not like it's overly expensive. But I think that Brandon Allen would play, and I think there's a lot of people that disagree with that.
Yeah, and then if that's the case, yeah, it would probably make sense to just go with Levis as your third guy and, again, developmental prospect and kind of see where it goes. You know, either he plays it out or at some point you move him for something, you know, as part of a package of something, you know, something else probably, yep. Right? If it's just him straight up, it's a low, low pick. That's what it is at this point, so – we'll see. I mean, if they have all four of those guys, like when camp starts, like the reps will be interesting. I mean, I expect Cam Ward to immediately get the first team reps, I would think.
He needs a lot.
Yeah,
reps.
He needs all the reps. Yeah. So and then how the heck do you divvy up the rest of them, yeah. You know? But I could see Levis having a dynamite half or two
like
in the
season. I would argue that when you're talking about a rookie quarterback coming in that you've got a pretty good idea is going to play for you immediately. Like, I think you go a little overboard with his reps anyway. Like, I think you give him as much as you can possibly give him throughout the course of the offseason, into training camp, and all that. So you look at that and you're like, okay, well, Brandon Allen, you've been in the league for a long time. We need you to be ready to play, knowing that you're going to have limited reps beyond what I would assume would be significant preseason action. I mean, where are the reps from Will Levis going to be in camp? Probably not getting very many.
Yeah. Well, for sure. But then it like also comes out. So I agree with you, Cam Ward. Give him everything you can give him. Throw everything at him. You're trying to get him ready. But then it's also like, okay. So I mean, if you're right, and I think that makes sense, then yeah. Then I guess Brandon Allen gets the twos, and then you're left. Yeah. Again, if you're Levis, you're probably like, can you guys move me, please?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Not that there's necessarily any other landing spot where he's going to get some great opportunity, but right. At least it's like it's just a new start.
Well, look. I think that he would love to be moved. You know, obviously I've not talked to him about that or anything, but, I mean, just reading the room here, your opportunity's not coming here. So if you want it to come somewhere else, I mean, a player would want that to happen as quickly as possible. He may have to be patient. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen on that front. In the meantime, like, if you're him, you better make every rep count, right? You're not going to get a whole lot of them, so you better go out there, and when you get them, make them look pretty good out there.
No doubt. But that's still way less pressure than he has been under, you know?
No doubt. No doubt. I'm interested to see where that goes. You know, a lot of people, now that he's on the roster through the draft, just assume that he'll be here, and maybe he will. I'm not willing to quite go there yet by the time camp rolls around, but we'll see what happens on that front. There's still some time here.
Yeah, I mean, they traded Willis, was it like right before the season started?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, could happen. Go through camp, get through the preseason games, and then someone out there, you know, someone will get hurt somewhere.
And then four weeks later, he was a nightmare here in
the
Nissan Stadium.
Comes in with like the Jags. The Lawrence gets hurt. Levis comes in and beats the Titans. Sure, yeah,
could be something.
615. Three touchdowns of Travis Hunter.
737-1025. Our phone number. More of your thoughts on the 2025 Titans draft class coming up next. We will get into the Shedeur Sanders story to begin the 7 o'clock hour as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
What traits do you think you have that kind of typify what a franchise quarterback means?
I think I don't get enough credit for the type of processor that I am. I think I see space real well. Over my college career, I've gotten better at each stop and getting through progressions. And I just think I think my feel for the pocket is, you know, something that can't be coached. But it's also something that you have to watch a lot of film on.
That's Cam Ward over the weekend discussing his processing as quarterback out there on the field. Says he feels like he doesn't get enough credit for that. By the way, Cam Ward be wearing number one. Cool stuff from Warren Moon over the weekend as well.
Can I have a little mini rant?
Go ahead.
It's cool. It's cool that Warren Moon did it. I hope we don't start getting into this stuff.
Did you see Abdul Carter try?
And let me tell you something. LT, I love you, man. Yeah, do your own thing, bro. 56 is retired. Why do we retire numbers if we're just going to be like, oh, this young guy who might be good, who got drafted high, wants to wear the number.
I would say it's retired
numbers.
I'm largely with you. I have less of a problem with the Cam Ward one just because it was, you know, it's the Houston Oilers, that thing.
Yep.
So, like, you can make the argument, Tennessee Titans down. That's basically what Warren Moon said was, you know, I'm a Houston Oilers quarterback. You know, I'm part of the Tennessee Titans family now, but this is Cam's time. It's Tennessee Titans, and I'm cool with this. The Giants one's weird. Like, Abdul Carter, but it's the same team. It's the same. Abdul Carter be like, hey, can I wear 56? And Lawrence Taylor's like, no, you can't. Go find another number.
Yeah. Good on you, LT. Young players coming into the league. Go to some place, they're legendary. Like 51 Dick Butkus with the Bears or whatever. You get your own number. If a number's retired, that means that's like an ultimate honor. Now, granted, at Colorado football, willy-nilly, they just retire numbers of the coach's son. But if a franchise has retired numbers, those are all-time legendary plays. Also, why do you want to put that on yourself? Again, I agree. The Ward Moon thing is a little different. It's fine. Like, you want to put 56 on yourself and compare yourself to that? No, man. Let's go see if you can get a few sacks in an NFL game.
Let's see if your foot holds up through the course of 1 year, and then we can start to worry about all that.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, let's see if you can play for a season.
Ugh, it's
LT, man. My MVP.
I do love that. He's like, no, you're not wearing my number. Yeah. Thank you, though.
Yeah, good luck, though, kid.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, this is not Mean Joe Green, my favorite commercial of all time, throwing the kid the jersey with the Coca-Cola.
Did not happen. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Cam to the program. Cam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Doing good.
Good.
Hey, so I hate to do this to you, Joe, but got to hold you accountable for something you said on Friday. You said on Friday after talking to Stillman that if Shadur dropped to the fifth round, you'd admit that he was a TV prospect.
He dropped to the fourth, right?
No, he's in the fifth.
He went in the fifth?
He went in the fifth.
Well, we're going to talk about this next hour, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this right now, but let me just tell you, this is so far beyond what anyone, including Stillman, could have guessed. If you guys want to make it about that, that's fine. This is the most shocking thing I've ever seen in the NFL draft.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you 100%, and I didn't expect it at all. But the words literally came out of your mouth. Maybe if he drops to the fifth round, I'll admit he's a TV prospect.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
No, you're right.
You got to be held accountable, Joe.
That's fine. Thanks. That's fine. That's fine. In fact, because, of course, Stilly texted us, of course, like, you know.
At all hours of the weekend.
And I think what did I say? Like, actually, he's a Telegraph prospect or like a Victrola radio prospect, you know. So, yes, I mean.
I said Etch-A-Sketch. I was proud of that one. He's an Etch-A-Sketch prospect.
Etch-A-Sketch prospect. There you go.
Just shake it up. He's gone.
Yeah, I definitely did not. When I said fifth round, I did not think it would actually happen in the fifth round. In fact, as I just confirmed, I didn't even realize. I'm like, oh, that was late fourth, right? Oh, no, that was fifth.
It was fifth.
We'll get into it. There's a lot to get into there.
There sure is. There sure is. Got one text that says, Cam Ward should not have been given Warren Moon's number. An absolute disgrace and shows how disrespectful they are to legends of the franchise. Might as well give McNair's jersey up and Eddie George's as well.
But see, to your point there, and I think most people would feel this way. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think most Titans fans don't have that emotional connection to Warren Moon because he was a Houston Oiler. Now, I know that there are fans that transferred from the Oilers to the Titans.
I will say, I agree with you, and I'm with you there. I am the same person that spends all these times yelling at Texans fans that get mad about the Titans wearing the Oilers jerseys. I'm like, it's their franchise. Let them do what they want. So I guess I'm kind of speaking out of both sides of my mouth there.
Yeah, but I think those are two different things, right? The texter there just compared it to Eddie George and McNair. Those are players you as a Titans fan have a connection to.
Correct.
Whereas this is a little different. But, I mean, look, overall, while it's a cool gesture, I don't think Cam Ward should have asked for one. I think he should have said, oh, there's a retired jersey. Okay, well, what number can I have?
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, you're kind of – I mean, one is kind of putting a little target on yourself too, isn't it? A little bit?
A little bit. We'll see how he lives up to it. I got one on the YouTube chat saying, Moon did drop that we're getting new jerseys, maybe a marketing opportunity. He did kind of let that slip. It does sound like the Titans could be ending up with some new jerseys soon, which is frankly a good thing because I've gone on record saying I think right now they have the worst jerseys in the league. So,
but my question is,
mix those up a little bit.
So are they going like they're going to be looking very much like the Houston Oilers, but without the oil derrick? Is that the thing?
I don't know.
I hate the idea that they're not going to ever wear the Oilers jerseys. If that's true, like the Oilers unis, I think once or twice a year, that's awesome.
I think the redesign is a welcome thing though. And when these even from the moment these new ones came out, I was just like, oh god, they look bad. I don't like the numbering. Don't like it. Don't like it.
Yeah,
you're don't finally like the gray getting, on the shoulder. Not good.
Yeah, you finally. But you didn't kind of like, you know, Vrabel and J-Rob singing.
The Florida Georgia line was interesting. Yeah, that was an interesting time. But that was probably the highlight of that. God, the jersey itself is just like, oh god.
How many beers in was Vrabel that night? Good lord.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, quite the weekend for Shedeur Sanders. He falls to the fifth round. Why do we think it happened? And what does it say about him as a prospect? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063 the game.